AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower. Lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work in traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories. Change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Moments like seeing my son's team cheer him on mean a lot to me. But after being diagnosed with metastatic breast cancer, or MBC, which is breast cancer that has spread to other parts of the body, they mean even more. I take Ibrance, palbociclib.
Ibrance 125 milligram tablets with an aromatase inhibitor is for adults with HR-positive, HER2-negative MBC as the first hormonal-based therapy. Ask your doctor about Ibrance and visit Ibrance.com. Ibrance may cause low white blood cell counts that may lead to serious infections. Ibrance may cause severe inflammation of the lungs. Both of these can lead to death. Tell your doctor right away if you have new or worsening symptoms, including trouble breathing, shortness of breath, cough, or chest pain. Before taking Ibrance, tell your doctor if you have fever, chills, or other signs of infection, liver or kidney problems, are or plan to become pregnant, or are breastfeeding. Common side effects include low red blood cell and low platelet counts, infections, tiredness, nausea, sore mouth, abnormalities in liver blood tests, diarrhea, hair thinning or loss, vomiting, rash, and loss of appetite.
What does every grocery store aisle now have in common? Products that come in paper packaging. And we don't just mean the obvious ones like cereal boxes and juice cartons. From beauty products to boxed water, there are more opportunities to go papertarian than ever before. So why should you? Because paper comes from a renewable resource and can be recycled up to 7 times. Simply put, it's the smart choice for the environment. And it turns out, the easiest choice for you. Learn more at howlifeunfolds.com/papertarian.
A rested child is a happy child. Sleep Tight Stories is a weekly podcast that brings comfort and joy to families worldwide with calming bedtime stories. The stories are relevant to children and spark wonder without overstimulation, so they can fall asleep and stay asleep. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. For a bedtime routine you'll miss when they're grown, Sleep Tight Stories.
And it's Drink Chess Motherfucking Podcast.
Make some noise!
He's a legendary Queens rapper.
Hey, hey, Segre, this your boy N.O.R.E.
He's a Miami hip hop pioneer.
What up, is DJ EFN.
Together, they drink it up with some of the biggest players.
You know what I mean?
In the most professional, unprofessional podcast, and your number one source for drunk facts.
It's Drink Chess Motherfucking Podcast, where every day is New Year's Eve.
It's time for Drink Champs. Drink up, motherfucker.
Three, 2, 1.
What a good be, hopefully with a should be. This your boy N-O-R-E.
What up, is DJ EFN.
And this is Drink Champs, the new happy hour in the new happy hour studio. Make some noise!
Hold up. Okay. We got to run that again, and it got to end up with me. Because I've been on Drink Champs so much.
I tell people it's like a million times.
I'm an assistant host.
Okay, let's do it. You ready?
All right.
Yo. What a good be, it's your boy N.O.R.E.
What up, it's DJ EFN.
What up, it's your boy Joe Crack the Dawn.
And this is Drink Champs.
Make some fucking noise.
That was legendary. By the way, Bad Joe, I went to New York the other day and I seen Sean Pecos. Did you ever see his cigar collection? He's like a beast with cigars. I'm offering you a cigar because it is your birthday.
No,
let's make some noise for Bad Joe.
I only drink cigars when I'm pissy drunk.
Don't drink a cigar.
Yeah, don't drink a cigar.
Save it for the party. Don't drink a cigar. Save it for the party. That's when I smoke a cigar, okay, when I feel like that. I'm that nigga. Okay. I can't just smoke one. Sean Pecos is a fraud.
What?
Oh my God.
Sean Pecos is a fraud.
Diego, shut up.
Let me tell you something. This guy If you don't know, we destroyed him because he was cheating me with the wine. I said it on your show. Mm. So he said, yo, you went on the number one show. You told niggas my gimmick. Right. You pay half and half the bill, but I really drink the wine. That's why he gave you the cigars so we could talk nice about it. Sean Beck, as you front, nigga.
He didn't give me these cigars, but that day at June Long, big up CCC Baskin, big up to Camilo Anthony. We got to hang out with them that night. It was fun, man. But Joe, you got this new single out right now.
Yes, sir.
It sounds 1990 now, like meaning like it sounds got that old school, you know, with the vibe to it, like, you know, like the then, but it's now.
Yeah.
But it's now. Like, what made you just keep going? And it's with Dre again.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got a project with Dre.
Mm.
And Kool & Dre, just for
Kool &
people
Dre,
that don't know.
Right. But Dre of Kool & Dre, and by the way, I don't have it on right now, but Kool & Dre, yesterday they bought me a Sky Dweller.
Let's make some noise for Kool & Dre. I ain't gonna lie. Yeah. I saw that and I looked at my friends and I said, I gotta step my friends up.
Nah, it took me 20 years to get dweller? One.
Hey, what are you saying about 20 your friends, years buddy? Yeah,
I'm not gonna lie, you gave me a tall chicken. Hey,
fuck the watch. When they gave me the watch, I was like, these niggas rich.
Right.
Rich.
Right.
Nah, but it felt so good, man, that my brothers gave me the Sky Dweller, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, that's such a beautiful thing. What are you drinking, E? Yo, can you open up some wine for
me? You got wine right there.
I know, let that one chill. That one felt like it was chilled more. You ain't gonna fuck it up by opening up one. This one's better? Okay, cool. You know you gotta have.
You don't have to disrespect my ice though, man.
So are you set up yet, Diego? Let us know, B. Girl, let us know, man. Come on, man. Huh? Oh, you want champagne? You gotta have a glass of champagne.
I have a glass of champagne.
Champagne or wine?
But I'm working hard today.
You're not drinking like you did last show?
No, I'm not gonna drink like that because
You went in last show.
Sunday's my birthday party and I'm a pissy drunk.
And I got my flight already. I'm flying up just for your party.
Too much pissy drunk. Right. Like, you know, but on my birthday and New Year's, I'm drunk.
Mm.
There's no way around it. Like, I'm actually trying to stop myself from getting drunk too fast.
Mm.
You know, because the party starts at 8. So I'm like, damn, Joe, don't be drunk. Don't be drunk by 9:30.
Right.
You're going to miss everything.
Well, if you hang out with this guy.
No, that guy got me drunk at 12 noon. But that's a different type.
This guy will get drunk at 6 in the morning.
Happy birthday.
Rest in peace, my girl, my man, Miguel Cartagena.
Uh-huh. Shots fired.
He was a homeless dude. He lived around Forest Projects, and we would find him. We'll go find him on the roof. Wow. We'll find him wherever he was sleeping, and we pay him $5. The nigga come to the party. He don't even know who birthday it is, and he start crying and shit. No, he'd be like, and then we'd be like, yo, Miguel, come on. He goes, cumpleaños feliz. So rest in peace, Miguel Cartagena.
Okay, we gotta sing this Spanish version. Come on, let's go. Yeah, man.
I don't sing it the way you sing it.
You have how you sing it?
You got
Feliz cumpleaños. A lot of Spanish niggas here.
Cuban, Colombia,
in case you didn't know, Fat Joe, you know, my cousin, it's also his birthday. Let's big him up.
Carlito!
Papi, swing, que pasa, papa.
Yo, where's his cup? And where's his cup at? And it's also Mr. Lee's birthday.
So,
I can't believe I see Mr. Lee working, passing cups and shit like that. I'm like, damn, I usually see that nigga chilling.
I want to show you what's happened to my cousin right now.
Cocaine Chronicles.
This is what happens.
Do we got a roaming
hold on,
camera?
Hold on.
No más perico. Perico bim bim.
No más perico.
Perico bim bim.
Listen, for the people who vote, I'm gonna to send y'all this video so you can put this up there. My cousin has been cocained out.
No way.
They have transferred him to the cocaine crew.
No, we got to stop.
You got to stop.
Yo, Bobby, you don't come back from that.
Nah.
You don't want that Hector Camacho flow.
He was doing it in the islands, man. Come on.
He got that hazardous sounds?
Yeah, everyone has hazardous sounds. You know our engineer.
I got some.
It wasn't a full glass. It wasn't a full glass. I'm not going. But you know our engineer.
I have to drive. Uncle Dan don't know shit in Miami.
You know our engineer.
He did drive. I didn't see him drive.
Listen. You know our engineer. We did a whole episode where we're on our test. And our engineer was so high of cocaine. there's no audio.
This guy?
Yeah, hazardous sound.
He turned up.
Yo, what the fuck is going on?
This is Miami, man.
No way.
This is where you live at, bro.
They think it's the 80s right now.
Yo, Poppy, stop.
They got it for half.
They're like at the Miami Vice.
Please. And he's going to be me. He's like, yo.
So, Joe.
Does it work?
Hip-hop has been very interested these past couple of months. Yeah. So many albums is dropping, so many places, things are taking place. So much antics, there's so much things going on. What has been your most surprising moment of these past couple of months? Whoever's back there, yo, relax.
My most surprising moment of these months? I don't know, I think this, for real hip-hop, mm-hmm.
What do you consider real hip-hop? Let's just define that.
Damn, why you trying to do that, EFN?
Okay.
You know what I mean by hip-hop, real hip-hop. I mean, you know...
Lyrics, boom
the
bap?
The kind of music we listen to.
Right, okay.
Not just boom bap. It could be
but just lyrical content.
The kind
content.
Of music we love. Lyrical right. content. It's been a hell of a year.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Nori's album's been amazing.
Yeah.
5 years.
Yeah. Represents.
I'm so proud of him.
No,
like,
he can't.
I listened to the album 12 Midnight. Like, wow. That's the new shit.
Wow.
So 12 Midnight, I'm listening to your album. I'm blasting it.
Mm. On Fridays.
You know your wife think the record about her is the record about her. Mm-hmm. I go everywhere with her.
Yeah.
I see her. Yeah. You fucking shit up for other niggas.
For other niggas? That's
yeah,
right.
You made a record.
Bring your girl everywhere.
I be with her.
Bring your girl
I'm with
everywhere.
Her everywhere.
That's right.
Yo, my daughter was singing that shit.
That's
yo.
Beautiful.
Nori wrote this for his wife.
That's right, man. I mean, go ahead.
But, so how you feel about the success of the album, bro?
I haven't even paid attention to any like success about it. I just wanted to, you know, make a body of work and throw it out there. I got a chance to do it. I got a chance to get with Master Pill in Bahamas, and they, you know, they rented a big studio in there out there. You know, I think they're doing a compilation or something.
It was
like
a Master Pill retreat.
I believe like something like that. It's, you know, record labels ain't do that in so long.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's ill.
I remember, you know, recording for the Firm album. They would, you know, take us to Bearsville, or they'll fly us to like Miami when Miami was like that place to be. So like, you know what I'm saying? Like before it's recorded, and for you know to see it come to fruition, but. Me, period. I just like the competitiveness. I just like that. This what's going on. Everyone is on. But you know what? I'm gonna tell you, Joe. There's been so much good material. I think, at least 70% of it has been overlooked.
No,
because it's too much.
No, I think this has been an amazing year.
Bro. It has.
Vice versa for everybody, man. Mm. I mean, like, you could tell, you know, when I went to your album release party,
that's
the first time in so many years. We used to do it like that.
Mm-hmm.
But people are so proud of what's going on in the hip-hop scene. Mm-hmm. Where you got Nas, you got Raekwon, you right. got the Mice Songz, you got AZ,
Mice
you got
Song,
Buck Wild, you got
yep.
Mano, you got...
Fat Joe.
Yo, Fat Joe, you got everybody.
It was all in my album with Loose Party, by the way. Fabulous. Yes, yes, yes. I turned you up, city up. Come on. Y'all gotta clap more, motherfuckers. Come on.
That's where the state of hip hop is right now. Mm. I'm loving with hip hop. This is the happiest I've been in a long time about hip hop.
Mm.
In a long time. Not the happiest ever,
right.
but this is the happiest I've been in a long time about hip hop. You know, I can't get over the Pusha T album.
Right. Yeah.
I still love the Drake album.
Right.
I still, yo, everything, I mean, you know, it's been a lot of hot albums, man. Right. A lot of hot albums dropped.
It's still the old Drink Champs behind
still
us.
The old Drink Champs, man.
No, it's going to always be the
I
Drink
Champs. I knew Sonny. I swear to God, when I felt something fall, I said, Sonny got to be around there.
Sonny was eating a bottle.
Yo, my dude.
Sonny was eating a bottle.
Yo, my dude.
Sonny's still sweating profusely over
there.
As soon as I seen Sonny eat the oyster shell,
oh, man.
That's the first time That's some Big Pun shit.
Wow.
Big Pun would have did that fucking with us. Like,
get out of here.
You know, yeah, he would have, you know, Pun was crazy. He would open the bottles like that and all that
no,
shit.
No, I've really seen Pun eat pork chops and applesauce. Like, I've never pork thought chops that was. Yeah, I never thought that
no,
was a thing.
He did it for you.
Yeah, I never thought that was a thing. Like, because he said it all around. Applesauce. Pork chops and applesauce. And I was like, I didn't know that was a thing. And everybody was like, oh, everybody eats pork chops and
you
applesauce.
No, Big Pun's an icon.
Of course he is. Absolutely. Let's make some noise for fucking Big Pun. Got it.
It's an amazing thing because now I look back, I sit back, and I get to reflect back. We've been in this game over 20 years, and I'm like, whoa, like we really brought a motherfucking top five icon in this bitch.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Wow. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Some people consider him top five. You know what I'm saying?
Some people consider him
number one.
Yeah.
So what I'm saying to you is like, we really was with him. Nah. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, beautiful thing.
So
now that watch you have on, is that a half a million? Or that's a cool million. That's a straight million.
What a segue!
Because that watch, your watch is just smacking me. I don't know. I don't know.
Let's call
it
Royal.
It's way out of my
league. I don't want to say it, man. Because these people,
you have to. I ain't gonna lie. You're living live.
It's over a million, man.
Over a million. Let's make some noise for that. Look, certain niggas didn't even clap. Niggas was like, what? You got a band? Like,
this shit been through the Harlem, it's not through the Bronx, the Queens.
It's not no normal shit.
Nah, it ain't normal, but you know what?
I seen you had it. Did I see 50 Cent went and got it after that?
He went and got it.
I seen that after that.
But you know, it's like, since I was 14, I've been hustling on the streets just to get fly. You know what I'm saying? To me, success is being fly every day, wearing whatever we want. Smelling how we want, eating like we want. And I ain't gonna let nobody deter that. I ain't let nobody deter that when I got caught for the taxes. I remember my fucking accountant came and the first thing he did was look at my house on the water. He was like, oh no, you got to get out of here. I said, no, you got to get the fuck out of my house, nigga.
Wow.
I ain't moving.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? Cause niggas, you know, you get these accountants and they try to make you cut back and all that. I'm like, hey man, I've been rich, I've been broke, I've been rich, I've been broke, I've been rich, I've been broke. I don't give a fuck.
Ain't nothing new.
You know what I'm saying? As long as we eating, we living good, you know what I'm saying? I don't care, man. I love being fly. That's just the bottom line, man.
Oh man, God damn it, man. Let's make some noise for that. Now, is your favorite part of the game? Because it feels like you're kind of more comfortable dropping singles on the here and there tip, like. Because you
no, it's just that's the all right. What happens is we just gotta adapt to what's going on now. I've always been a hustler, businessman. I'm gonna do what's better for the money, right? But at the end of the day, I love putting out albums and bodies of work. Like if albums were still selling 100,000 first week and all that shit, we all would have been rushing to do albums. But the truth is, you put out a single. Like, do you know? All the way up won't stop.
Like it
won't keep selling and the streaming. So I don't think people have gathered the thought of streaming.
Right.
Streaming is open 24 hours a day. While we sleeping, somebody's playing it and we making money. It'll keep going.
Right.
It ain't about first week sales no more with streams.
Right.
It's about niggas keep listening going. To them. And God forbid something happens.
That goes viral.
That goes viral and niggas just keep streaming and streaming and streaming and before you know it, You like blah blah blah. It made me so much money. Like I don't. It just keep making money. Thank God for Ghazi, who you introduced me to.
Empire, shout out to Empire.
Mo Landry, you know that. You know he changed my life with the streaming game.
Wow.
So you know it. You know I love making albums with Dre. Our album, we two songs away.
Right.
Two songs away from a classic. Right. Two songs away. Like this shit is really. Last time you heard it, it ain't even. This shit is really becoming ridiculous, and it's because the state of hip hop. Your album being fire, Nas' album being fire.
Albums made a comeback. It seems like albums made a comeback.
You know, all these Jay-Z, Beyonce album, all them shits being fire, made us look at our shit and be like, yo, our shit got to be super fire, and that's where the game's at right now.
As you know, as much as success as we got, right? Like us, I think everyone has a little bit of pettiness still, right?
Of course.
Do you think Jay-Z dropped his album on the same day as Nas on purpose? Like, I mean, this is just industry insider shit that people hearing.
Like, it's you don't not, know, no, you're just saying that.
This
right.
is no fact.
Drunk facts. Not
this
even.
This is no facts.
No
I
facts.
Mean,
oh, this is the no facts.
It's weird that it dropped the same day. Like, just give it that. Okay. You know what I mean? It's a
Right.
It's an ill coincidence. You know what I'm saying? But
ill coincidence.
Maybe no they one, still, but they friends. I see them at the Grammys right. together, everywhere together.
What's Beyonce's tribe? The Beehive?
Beehive.
Yeah. No one can fuck with the Beehive.
And like their album is together, right? That's a joint album. So it's, I mean, listen, it's kind of dude, unfair.
You want to see where the Beehive is? Just go say something about Beyonce.
Right.
And oh my God, they'll be talking about your mother's mother.
You know, I was looking at that.
They're crazy.
You know, I was like. I was looking at
looking at the front door.
No, I wasn't looking at the front door. Okay. I was like, all right, let me just subliminally say, the big artist performed at MTV Awards
this year
and this year, and they
damn,
used
dog. Damn. The remix.
Give me the single. I don't want the album.
He said you're not so fat no more, Joe.
Give me the single. I don't want the album. Come on, Bobby Dog.
He said you're not fat no more, Joe.
So anyway, I seen a big artist perform that got like an army, right? But I seen them perform and the army was there and they was all like the gay and lesbian community. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
So that was their army, you're saying?
I couldn't believe that. I'm looking at it and I'm like, wow. So all these people who've been telling me to suck their dick and all this wild shit on the Instagram, I'm like, yo, these niggas is, you know, it's crazy, my nigga. So, you know, who knows whose crowd or whatever, who's the Beehives?
Yeah, they're crazy. Like, you don't want no smoke with them.
Well, we caught smoke.
With Beehive?
No, I caught a lot of smoke when we did that last Dream Chaps about... reggaeton.
Oh, we never settled that. We never.
That was crazy.
Because we addressed it, but it was on our, you know, it was. Because
this is the first time Joe's going to be on the Revolt.
Revolt, yes.
That's crazy. It's crazy. Many times been on. This is the first time you're on the
Revolt. We got slates and shit and white people working for us. Let's make some noise for us, goddamn. Look at that. We got slates and white folks, goddamn.
I don't know.
Shit is real, man.
I don't know.
When your child fights sleep, it can feel like a battle you'll never win. Imagine a bedtime routine you all look forward to, where you cuddle in and let the stress of the day melt away. Welcome to Sleep Tight Stories, a calming weekly podcast that brings bedtime stories, cuddles, and comfort to families worldwide. The stories are quirky, relatable, and spark wonder without overstimulation, so listeners can fall asleep and stay asleep. Each episode is narrated by me, Cheryl McLeod, a second grade teacher, and written by my husband, Clark, an eternal second grader at heart. Tune in tonight and bond over a story before drifting off to sleep. Make bedtime the sweetest part of your day. Sleep Tight Stories. Listen to Sleep Tight Stories on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Callie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on Storybutton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question, it's going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you on our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question. Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarcella.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarcella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarcella.
We got to show that he's a corrupt cop.
They can go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Stage, you've been on just audio,
yep.
Then you've been on YouTube with us, and yep. now you take it to the remote stage.
Revolt know that I'm the biggest nigga in the game. So right. It's just congratulations to you to have me on.
That's
this
right.
Shit.
God damn it.
You know what I'm saying? Then put me in the no frills section.
So this year, I want to describe your party, because when you told me, I said.
My party?
You listen, let me just tell you.
You wasn't going to clear up the reggaeton thing? Or
oh,
not?
No, damn. I'm so sorry. I totally forgot, because we were just clapping hands. Holy moly guacamole. So we had to clear that up, right? So now, what happened exactly? We got on. What'd you say? You say you received slack, right? Because you.
I mean, we talked about, you know, right. we going to do this again?
No, we have to, because it's, this is on the big platform. Kinda, yeah. This is.
Dude, we'll do it briefly. Just do it briefly.
So what happened was we talked about Daddy Yankee coming up in the Bronx and always telling me, you know, you are the leader or whatever the case may be. And
you're
then,
the leader.
You know, I was happy for him. And then long story short, I told a story about how when he blew up, he broke my heart. I was so happy for him. That when I seen him at a reggaeton show that I was with Nori, the nigga act like he ain't know me. He was like, and I was like, wow, this nigga could be a little bit more loyal. But at the same time, I try to give him street credibility and say, yo, that nigga used to be in the streets. Now, Jay-Z said he hustled, 50 Cent said he hustled, even fucking Pitbull said he hustled.
Right.
Fat Joe done hustled, Nori.
Right.
So I was trying, like, not trying to play
because there's
him.
Not a lot of people who can co-sign that these people hustle.
I was trying to give
him credibility,
like, credibility. And then, you know, they ran with the only thing they could say is like, yo, Fat Joe's ratting, this and that. He's about some nigga in the street 20 years ago. To me, if you a rat, you put niggas in jail.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So.
That's the podcast,
I guess they ain't understand the podcast and the culture.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
All right. No, we leave it alone.
The Elliot Wilson train.
Yeah, that's what it used to be. It's all right. It used to be the Elliot Wilson train. Sorry, Elliot. Listen. We squashed.
That's classic, though. That's classic.
We're stuck in the same spot.
So his fans, I don't know who the fuck they are. You know, they called me 10,000 Mama Bichos. It was bad. So Mama
Bichos. Yo,
Bito,
they did talk shows based on that whole shit.
Maricon Puñeta. This niggas was going hard on my shit.
But let's be clear. So, like, that, if the average artist will see that and see these kind of, like, threats or something like that and will say, you know what, I'll chill. Well, you had to do a movie, a series on Netflix. She's Gotta Have It, Part 2.
Mm-hmm.
Correct? And one of the first things I seen is when you landed in the craziest hood in Puerto Rico. They literally tell you, do not go to this hood, even to other Puerto Ricans.
Yeah.
What made you feel that need to go?
I didn't need to. It's just that's
I felt
it.
Like you needed to.
I mean, you felt like that? I didn't know. I went to the Lions.
It was a statement.
Like, if somebody want to hurt me, you might as well come to La Bella and hurt me, nigga.
Right.
Like, Right. I'm in the back part. Like, right. I'm under La Bella.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not in the front smiling in the welcome to La Bella sign. Right. I'm in the rocks with fucking Hector Lavoe was shooting the dope in El Cantante movie,
it's
nigga.
Hard,
I'm up,
nigga.
I'm up
hard,
in there,
nigga.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Colleague, you better stay out of there.
Yeah, say, cocaína, no. Cocaine, no. Perico PP, no.
Yeah, so you out there again.
So I'm out there and they showing me nothing but love. I don't even know what to tell you. Everywhere I went is nothing but love. Fat Joe, you know, right. Puerto Ricans love Fat Joe. Like, right. I don't know what niggas was thinking.
Right.
So I'm thinking maybe it was like the Barbs or the
Like a media frenzy, too.
You know those niggas. Yeah, yeah. Right. Those niggas. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Because, but did you expect, like, any, to get any, like, phone calls or any, like, did you expect it? Or you expect exactly the love you got, you expected that? Because I remember one time you was even
If you
online.
Want me to keep it real with
yeah,
you.
Keep it real, please. We need this.
We was super strapped out there.
Right.
Like, just in case a nigga right. wanted to play funny.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? My mm-hmm. whole job is always coming home. I used to be in L.A. with the East Coast, West Coast beef.
Right.
Super strapped. Like, right. I don't play with these people. I got to get home. I got 3 kids. I got right. a wife. I got a family. Right. I'm coming home. So if that right. means giving it to everybody, we right. giving it to everybody. We coming home.
Right. Got
That's just the bottom line.
So for the record, it's no beef with like Puerto Rico, no beef with
beef
reggaeton.
With Puerto Rico,
I'm just
that's
saying,
my
you know,
home.
Cause you know how just the way. So no beef with Puerto Rico, no beef with reggaeton.
I love Puerto Rico. I worship Puerto Rico. My grandmother, my grandfather from Puerto Rico. I'm Puerto right. Rican and Cuban. Right. You gotta understand, man. Right. Like, I don't even know. Is there beef? Like, there is no beef.
I don't think so.
I think it was a misunderstanding.
I think it was the media that took it and ran with it, like the Latin media.
Yeah, it was.
It did great for us.
Yeah, because it took us to that market.
It took you in that chapter.
Yeah, I think it helped a little
like,
bit.
We had
we were in Espanol now.
Telemundo picked us up. It was real. Like, I was like, holy moly.
Let me tell you something, man.
I went to a Spanish barbershop randomly, just walked in, and was like, shit, I'm not sure I should get my hair cut. I just walked out.
I'm going to tell you what.
I'm gonna tell you
what happened to me. I don't know if I told you this story before. I might have. This is famous. You know, I used to be scared to fly.
Yeah.
So it wasn't to 10 years after that I ever went and did a show. It wasn't to lean back of my career that I went to Puerto Rico to do a show.
Uh-huh.
And when I went to Puerto Rico and did a show, I went on the radio to do my first interview. And do you know what the first question they asked me? They said, yo, do you think you black? This is the first question Puerto Rico asked me.
You know what the first question Even when I went to Puerto Rico radio, Puerto they asked me?
Yeah.
You know what the first question, I'm going to give it right back
to
you.
I was like,
you know,
amazing
the first
to me.
Asked me Fat
and
Joe?
I told him it
was
yeah.
no pay, no play. It wasn't
no
even
pay,
a question.
No play.
Yeah. It was a statement. No pay, no play, papa. Okay, Coyote.
That's what they said.
Coyote, right? That was his name, Calito?
Nah, stop. They're going to say we snitched.
Yeah, you throw him under the bus.
Yeah.
Nah, but that was the first question. I was hurt.
Right.
Know what I'm saying? So I told them, you know, they said, nah, because we see you always with the black people and this. And I had the same problem when I was in jail. Know what I'm saying? The first day this nigga came up in my cell, because they in the feds, you can't get commissary. So I don't give a fuck who you is. I walked in the feds with 5 G's cash in my pocket. But you couldn't get it for 2 weeks. I don't care if you Bernie Madoff.
Right.
So there's a line of niggas giving you 2 bananas, cereal, a cup, if niggas got love for you. The whole line, say there was 15 people outside my cell, 12 was black, 3 was Hispanic, right? So then some Spanish nigga, the leader of the Puerto Ricans, he comes over and I started calling that nigga Super Boricua, right? So the nigga come up in my cell. That's a violation anyway for him coming up. He got these holes in his face, so you know he's a bad guy. You can tell, right?
Yeah.
So So he tells me, oh yeah, fuck. Because for some reason they can't say fuck, Joe. They always just say fa. Oh yeah, fa.
No tea.
Yeah, you fa, right? So a nigga come in, yo, it's a long story short, he's like, yo, I see all the black dudes with you, and I know you from New York and the Puerto Ricans from New York. But over here, we stick to our own and
you talking about Miami.
In Miami jail, yes. Right? So he was the leader of the Puerto Ricans in the Miami jail or whatever.
Mm.
So I'm listening to this nigga, I cannot believe what he's saying to me, right? So then he actually calls all the Puerto Ricans his son. He's like, so me hijo, he did this. So I sit down and I say, yo, papi, let me explain something to you. the first thing you need to do is call your cousins.
Is it English or Spanish?
Spanish. Okay. Papi, el primer cosa que tú tienes que hacer, a llamar tu primo de Nueva York, a decirte que yo no soy rapero, papá. That's number one. Right. Let your cousins in New York tell you I'm not a rapper.
Right.
Number two is, I've been running niggas so long that I would have to give you a premio on the West or a Grammy for me to come in here for 4 months and you run me. Like, it would be the biggest thing in America. Yo, 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 this is my first 20 minutes in jail. I'm like, this would be like the Grammys. Like, you would be the illest nigga I've ever seen on earth. Like, guess you. The nigga look at me, he start laughing. He was like, yo, but just know the Boricuas ain't with you in here. I'm like, I tell my nigga, I came in here dolo anyway.
Right.
So, you know, that's just always been my, so the same thing with the radio in Puerto Rico. They was like, you know, and I was like, yo, B, I represent Puerto Rico and Africa, Brazil, all over the world. Here's one thing, at one time, the reggaeton movement was just in Puerto Rico, a little bit in New York and Orlando. That's when they asked me the question.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I'm like, nigga, I'm waving that Puerto Rican flag across the world.
And for the record, I helped it. And when you said you discovered Daddy Yankee, we was playing around. If they actually looked, right. you said, did you discover Daddy Yankee? And I said, he ain't called me since.
Well, you was the first person to put him on the hit in America.
That was a big part of his career.
BET, Hot 97, MTV. And now I can look at MTV and he's on there. And he's performing and he's with Janet Jackson.
It's a different time.
It's a beautiful time.
No, he's out of here.
It's a different time.
Yes.
So what happens is, let's be clear about what's going on. They talked about this 20 years ago.
Right.
We just ain't believe it, and now it's the time.
Yes.
Latinos have become the dominant demographic in America.
That's right.
So when you listen to Hot 97 or you listen to straight black stations and they playing reggaeton, they playing that record. It ain't just because they want to play the record.
Right.
It's just they got mad Latinos requesting it. Listen, right now it's merging. You like it like that. Number one hit in America. You got reggaeton and English rapping on the same song. It's the time.
One of the first records.
It's the time.
English.
It ain't no ill
Spanish
shit.
Together.
It's what it is.
Was Oye Mi Canto, goddamn.
Tell you something, that you was ahead of your time.
I believe so. I believe. Who was
I was
that?
Ahead of
your
time.
Not Jay. What was his name? Jay Alvarez.
Yeah.
Jay Alvarez said, yo, you was so ahead of your time, bro. You know what I mean?
You was way ahead of your time. We was ahead of our time.
Right.
Everybody, see, when we was playing the game.
Your watch is definitely ahead of the time.
Hold
up. Your watch is in another dimension.
Your watch is smacking niggas in the face.
I know what
right
the
now.
Fuck I'm
your
talking about.
Your watch is ruining our lighting
you
right
know
now.
You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. Niggas suck my dick. You know what I'm saying? I know what I'm talking about. What I'm trying to tell you is that we was ahead of our time, the whole hip-hop community.
Mm.
So say Magic Johnson, he broke a record when he got $1 million for playing one year, $1 million in the Lakers, the biggest shit you ever heard.
Wow.
Now you got niggas making $250 million.
Mm.
So at that time, we was breaking doors for these niggas to come get them $200,000, $250,000, $150,000. Well, we was getting $500 at Roomba and doing three shows in one night trying to make $1,500.
Right.
We was opening the doors. We was ahead of our time.
Right.
That's why the climate is the way it is. That's why we kept fighting and holding out, because we want a piece of that $250. We you owe us restitution. This is like 40 acres in a mule.
Mm.
Like, you know what I mean? We paved the door. Most of the niggas who paved the door, when Jay-Z say, the Cold Crush paying dues to the Cold Crush, they ain't get to see this money.
Mm.
We seeing this money.
Mm.
We still here doing what we got to do. And but we opened the door for everybody.
Right.
Don't get that fucked up ever in your life.
So, you know, this is what we do with, you know, guests that have been on the show.
Alumni.
We're gonna actually just random.
I'm the first nigga ever in Drink Champs.
That's right, goddamn. Make some fucking noise. Yeah. Listen, I just wanna ask you like random stuff that's happening in the hip hop. Right now,
first hip hop Puerto Rican parade. You can blow one of these. I brought hip hop to the Puerto Rican parade. Woo! Can you?
Goddamn.
Fat Joe Big Pun, first rappers to bring a boxer in the ring. Felix Trinidad against De La Hoya.
Against De La Hoya. And you got your own, Fat Joe. Yo, damn, my ears as well.
This shit works more on my leg. Yeah,
this is guns pointed at him.
No, let's just share.
So, damn, you fucked me up now. I forgot what the fuck I was saying. No one remembers?
Jesus. You never got to say, and I kept fucking stopping you.
You were going to bring up hip-hop topics.
Oh, hip-hop topics. So, right now, Kodak Black, the young homie.
He's out, right? Is he out?
That's crazy.
Kodak Black just came home, right? Mm-hmm. Young, energetic dude. I like him. I love what he represents. And there's rumors that he's turning down $100,000 shows.
Cause? What's the reason?
I don't know.
Huh?
I don't know why. Well,
what's the reason?
Maybe that's his reason. Maybe he don't know.
I don't know.
I can tell you a story.
Oh no, they said his reason is because he wanna make music. Yeah. Wanna make music.
Well, maybe he just wanna make music. I mean, artists is artists, man. Right. You know, Prince, Michael Jackson, everybody, Kanye, everybody got their own frame of thinking.
Come home from jail. Dudes is turning down $100,000.
Maybe he's not ready to hit the stage.
Maybe he got a master plan to make $200,000, $250,000. I remember at one time, Big Pun made the same money that Jay-Z made. And the same thing. Jay-Z turned around and started turning down, and he asked for like $150,000. Nobody ever heard of that. It was, right. It was you the man if he was getting $40,000, right? He was like, yo, I'm not moving without $150,000. They came and they gave him the $150,000. They was like, I want $200 in a private plane. And they started giving them $200 in a private plane. Wow. So there's some niggas that got a strategy that looks weird to us, but right. They hold out and they get what they want. Right. He figures, yo, I'm going to still make that $100,000 when I put out this masterpiece album. I'm going to be charging niggas $250 and killing them. Mm. I mean, I guess that's his concept. Me, I'm greedy. I'm taking anything.
I've never got paid $100,000 a show. I'm throwing it out there. I've had success. I've never had $100K a show. I ain't gonna lie. I've maybe had 80. Like, but it was like
I made a half private. $1 million a show. God That's damn. The damn. Biggest I ever made. God damn. Half a
in
million
the States,
a show.
In the United
States? Nah, Africa.
I was about to say Dubai. I was about to say
Africa.
Not that story you told us about.
Yeah, that story.
Going you. So was it worth it?
Yeah, I got paid. I got paid to get kidnapped.
Right.
But you came back. So
now we got back. You know what I mean? There's a lot. I remember one time I called Flo Rida. Flo Rida, my brother, I love him to death. I love what he does with the kids, him and Freezy over here with the football tournaments and all that. But I called Flo Rida because I was doing a bar mitzvah. And I was getting like $50,000 to do it. Them niggas was like, yo, we'll give Flo Rida $200,000 if he come to the bar mitzvah. Do you know him? Flo Rida live across the street from the bar mitzvah. Across the street. And I was like, yo, Flo, they want you to come across the street so they can give you $200,000. He was like, Joe, I love you so much. My price is $400. I can't go. I said, but no, Flo Rida, look out your window. I'm waving at you. He said, nah, I can't do it. My price is my price. I was like, Jesus Christ. Like, this nigga must be making tremendous amount of money. Jesus. Go across the street, two songs, $200,000, go home.
In your flip flops.
I gotta go there because you posted this on your gram. This was the blackout 15 years ago.
Yeah.
The other day was the anniversary of the blackout. Now, what happened on this legend? Because, you know, Drink Champs fans, ironically, they're young people. Some are older, but some people probably don't know what the fuck we're talking about. So I would like you to understand.
Street basketball in New York at this time was the biggest thing. You see Dykeman, that's how Rucker used to be all the time. Mm-hmm. And I was in there. Dykeman is the new Rucker, right? So
I was. That's where they booed Safari, by the way.
I was a champion.
Sorry.
I was the champion for 3 years in a row, then Jay-Z decided to get a team and come into Rucker. I was really offended. I was in my feelings because I felt like, you know, when I went to the Rucker, it was almost on its way out, and I started bringing all the NBA niggas. So I built the shit back up, right? So his team is playing. Them niggas got LeBron James. They got Jamal Crawford.
And this they is had, high school LeBron.
Huh?
This is high school LeBron. High school LeBron.
They had the planet Earth with them. And they was winning every game. He was bringing Beyonce to all the games at the Rucker. Beyonce was sitting in the middle of Harlem. Niggas was going crazy. So we was bringing everybody too. Stephon Marbury, Allen Iverson, everybody.
Can I ask something? Was it a little bit of like, what is, like, a little, I don't want to say hate, but it was a little.
It was like, a little hate. It was like, hate. Yo, why is this nigga coming in my shit?
In my
this
shit.
Nigga got Beyonce. Right. He filthy rich. Right. He got everything in the world. Right. Why he come to my little park with Fat Joe the King to take my shit?
So we all saying
hate. It was hate.
It was hate, okay.
It was hate.
Okay, that's what
petty we're going to
do. Nah, it was petty. Petty.
Petty. Petty, okay.
Real petty, because right. At that time it was loco for the cake. You know, we was like really on some bullshit.
Right.
So, in any case, he's winning. He's winning. You know, like Cinderella or some shit. Rocky.
Right.
They winning. They winning. But guess what? He wins the playoffs. We win the playoffs. Fat Joe, Jay-Z, they playing.
Mm.
So we supposed to play the championship on this day. And then the blackout, it was so hot or whatever. The whole New York City had no power. There was over 30, 40,000 kids on the street to see the game. The park only hold 1,000 people. The shit looked like giant stadium in the middle of Harlem. It was the radio was talking about the game every 2 seconds. Like, what, yo, it's going
remember,
down. It's crazy.
Exact
it's
year
crazy.
It was? You remember exact year?
Oh, man. I don't even know. I mean, 15 years ago. What
so
is it?
What's 15 years ago? Who's smart,
2003. 2003. Yeah, 2003.
Yeah.
So 2003. Okay.
Joe's math is impeccable.
Huh?
Your math is impeccable.
Nah, you know, this
you
is a big
job.
Moment.
You got that job.
You got that money.
You get that job. You get that job.
Yeah, you got that different Diddy vibe.
So, all right, let me just describe the situation. Because for those that
the
don't know.
The fucking power, Jesus Christ,
no,
my Lord
on.
And Savior.
For those that don't know,
put a blackout.
In the summertime in New York City, this is one of the biggest events that's happening. It's in the daytime to the nighttime. But I'm talking about every NBA player has to come through this for their rite of passage.
But before they're NBA players.
Before
no,
the
no,
NBA
no, no,
players.
NBA
and even
is,
when
no.
they're NBA players, to show that you still
like,
got
it. Was like Kobe
that wouldn't
Bryant
be against their contract.
Kobe went out there that day. No, I had everybody.
Is, yeah.
So Jay-Z had LeBron James, Vince Carter, right. Tracy McGrady, Jamal Crawford. He had a bunch of niggas. Shaquille O'Neal. So at that game, he had Shaquille O'Neal. LeBron James, it was stupid. I had Carmelo, this, all right, nobody ever heard, knew this, right? I had Carmelo Anthony, who's young on, Carmelo, who was like,
who's on Rock Nation right
who,
now.
Who just won the chip to Syracuse, right? So Carmelo Anthony, I had Al Harrington,
by the
I had
way,
Amari
Carmelo
Stoudemire.
Anthony's black and Puerto Rican. You know, I love Carmelo.
I had Amari Stoudemire. I had Stephon Marbury when he was the highest paid
Ooh,
nigga in the
Stephon
NBA.
Stephon Marbury next.
Stephon yeah. Marbury. I had Allen Iverson. I had Mike Bibby.
Wow.
Zach Randolph. Yo, it was disgusting
but,
the crew
but
I had. To
you didn't
play.
Have like a Skip to My Lou or Future.
We
like,
had Skip
you,
to My Lou.
Okay,
we had Kareem Reed. We had
Kareem
everybody.
Reed,
but at
yeah,
the
yeah.
end of the day, I had all the niggas, right? So what happened is he had all the niggas. The blackout happened. So what happened was the NBA teams started calling the players for practice. Practice had to start. It was getting late in the summer, right? So all his players, I knew, had to go back to their NBA teams.
Mm.
My niggas was loyal to me, and they stood in New York for the replay. There was a second.
When was the rematch supposed to happen? The next day?
3 days later, 2 days later. Oh. But I had my niggas. Right. Like, everybody was ready, sitting in the hotel. Half the niggas was in the park. Like, I didn't see them. I knew that they niggas had to go out of town.
Okay, Joe, you're going way too fast. Okay, so you're saying the first game was
first
the blackout.
First game was yeah.
But
came,
did we schedule?
We rescheduled
okay.
to a next 2 days later.
And that's why you said, I don't even have to speak about the Rucker. Because
we
you
won,
ain't
we didn't
play.
Even have to play.
They didn't even show up.
Yeah, we was out
by
there
default.
For like 3 hours. They ain't come. They forfeited. Mm-hmm. Mm. They said Jay-Z had to go to Saint-Tropez or something. So I'm like,
that was hard. That was a hard excuse.
You know, yeah, that was hard.
had you started
said,
the game?
If you had Beyonce and had a yacht in the middle of Saint-Tropez, you would leave too.
Uh-huh. But I'm had like, y'all started the game though before the blackout?
No.
No.
Oh, okay.
It was gonna.
Okay, but it was very.
Like
it looked like when you look at that history, the documentary.
God,
it's
God's plan.
Before the blackout, it looked like it was tension.
Big tense.
Okay.
on my behalf.
Okay.
Look, I was a piece of shit.
Right.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I was a bad guy, troublemaker. I was looking for bullshit every second of the day. You know, this was my life at one point before rap and my first 8 years of rap. I was looking to fuck anybody up. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, it probably would have been real tense in that game, man. Like, really, God did us the biggest favor you ever seen in life, not letting the game happen.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? It would have took one call. It would have took one, yo, they jerked us, you know, for niggas to run on the court and start the bullshit.
So, but you when know? You rescheduled just for, you know, when you rescheduled, did not they me, even show up?
Rescheduled.
Okay.
No, OG Juan showed up and like two of their players, John Strick and another player. I did not see any other players out there. Yeah. Stephon Marbury was in the middle of the court. Zach Randolph, all my niggas was in the court.
Zach Randolph.
Everybody was in the court. Jermaine O'Neal was there. Like we had everybody. We had everybody. We had everybody.
Damn, those are all bully players.
So, but he has Shaquille O'Neal. So
he has Shaquille O'Neal.
So to be clear, there's a good probability they would have won if that first game went down and they had Shaquille O'Neal. Nobody could stop. Shaquille takes seven niggas on him. You know, I was mad. I want to break Shaquille's legs, man. No.
You wanted to break his legs then?
I called him. I told Shaq I'm going to break his legs.
Real talk. I need to understand this, Shaq. You call Shaq. Now, listen, I seen Shaq the other day.
Like, I love Shaquille O'Neal. He's the biggest club. Nigga you ever seen.
You know
seen
what he did?
Life.
The nigga put his hand on me. I was like, nigga, don't put your hand on my head. Because, like, you just too small to this nigga.
Nah,
like,
Shaq the biggest nigga on earth. Like, and I love him and everything, but that's how much I was in my feelings at that time. You know?
So you call, how does this call?
Watch out, watch out.
How does this phone call happen?
For somebody, Mr. Lee.
Yeah, yeah. How does this
help
phone call
him,
this guy?
You
call him just out of the blue?
Well, I did it on the radio. Like, Shaq was up on the radio talking. That blackout, the only thing that worked was the radio. So he was up there, Steve Stout, OG Juan, Shaq. He talking about, yo, I'm a do Fat Joe. I heard Fat Joe bringing Yao Ming. I was like, yo, Shaq, man, I'm going to break your legs. You walk in that park. Wow. You know what I'm saying? But I was on some bullshit. Like, and I love Shaquille O'Neal. I worship him. Right. It's just I was a bad guy at one time. That's it. It's the truth.
Yeah. Make some noise for growth. Make some noise for growth. God damn it, that's growth. So if the second game would have happened, when you won by forfeit, right? Because you said you didn't have to play it.
If Shaquille O'Neal wasn't with them,
they wasn't with them. The
we
would have
won,
right?
We would have won the second game.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Because all my players was there. I had Allen Iverson and Steph Marbury in the backcourt with Mike Bibby. When Mike Bibby was the all,
and this is when Steph was the guy too.
My nigga, I had the whole East Coast All Star team ready to play. If you look up that year, every nigga I'm telling you is the starters of the East Coast All Star team was playing in Harlem at that park. It was out of control what we was about to do out there. You know what I'm saying? But Shaquille O'Neal was the most dominant player of this era.
Right. Now, Marbury still has not let it go, according to your Instagram. according to your Instagram. Like, you posted this, and you said this heartfelt story.
I said, I love Jay-Z.
You said.
I love OG Juan. This day brought us together.
Right.
The blackout brought us together 15 years ago. Yes. Now we got something to talk about. We laugh about it. And now we all business partners, and we do great with each other. We love each other. So, you know, I put that up. The nigga Marbury went bad. You know what I'm saying?
What did he say? He was going,
nah, I can't say what he said. I don't want to say what he said. But he went bad. I had to actually, and I love Stephon Marbury.
Right.
I love him to death. Right. I had to delete his, what he said.
His comment?
He went too bad. So, you know, Jay-Z said you could be like Marbury at the light. You could lose your life.
I'm thinking this is the game.
No.
Oh, think about Marbury at the light.
Not only that, Sebastian Telfair was Marbury's little nephew.
That's his cousin, right?
His little cousin.
Okay.
We watched him grow up. I used to eat ghetto fucking chicken wings, fried rice and chicken wings with this little nigga. Wow. This nigga was playing for Jay-Z when he was the hottest young nigga coming out of high school in the city. Wow. So he was playing for them. So Steph was mad. His little nephew, his little cousin, was gonna kill that nigga. Steph was gonna dropped 50 points on that little nigga. They were taking him out, like, in one quarter. But we was offended. Wow. We watched the little nigga grow up. And he went and played, you know, for, at the time, the ops.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it was a lot of built-in anger. But 15 years later, and Stephon Marbury's such a legend. He got statues in China. He runs a $1 billion company out there and all that.
Yeah.
He ain't had to go that bad on Instagram, man.
Yeah, he went bad. He went there.
I love Steph, though.
So, Joe, let me just ask you. So, because you balance this kind of ill. You're probably the only person that, Ja Rule friend.
Parents, ready to discover a new educational and interactive podcast for kids? Join Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids, where episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We learned how to recycle at the beach.
That was great fun. Cowie, what do you say?
It was. And that time when we did the science experiment and Billy made raisins dance.
That is so cool, Billy.
He did. Not to mention when a certain Elliot took up swimming classes with Lisa.
That was me.
Bet you can't catch me.
I'm going to get you.
All this fun and more in our Stories for Kids. Lingo Kids Stories for Kids is now available on StoryButton, the kid-friendly device for screenless podcast listening. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. It is 2024, and we're going to get through this together, folks. My campaign promise to all of you here on Next Question is going to be a good time the whole time, we hope. I have some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring Kris Jenner, who's got some words of wisdom for me on being a good grandmother, or in her case, a good lovey.
You know, you start thinking of what you want your grandmother name to be. Like, are they going to call me grandma like I called my grandmother? So I got to choose my name, which is now Lovey.
I'll also be joined by Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, to name a few. So come on in and take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood.
I loved it. Your energy and joy.
I'm squeezing every minute I can for you out of this season of Next Question.
Last question, I promise. You have to go. I have to go. But it's been so fun, and I can't wait for you to hear it.
Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 1980s and 90s, New York City needed a tough cop like Detective Louis Scarcella.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it in the world.
He was the guy who made sure the worst killers were brought to justice.
That's one version.
This guy is a piece of shit.
Derek Hamilton was put away for murder by Detective Scarcella.
In prison, Derek turned himself into the best jailhouse lawyer of his generation.
And the law was my girlfriend. This is my only way to freedom.
Derek and other convicted murderers
started a law firm behind bars.
We never knew we had the same cop in the case.
Scarcella.
We gotta show that he's a corrupt cop.
They can go f*** themselves.
I'm Steve Fishman.
And I'm Dax Devlin Ross. And this is The Burden.
Listen to new episodes of The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. And to hear episodes 1 week early and ad-free with exclusive bonus content, subscribe to True Crime Clubhouse on Apple Podcasts.
Yeah, I went to Turmoil with 50. And you're probably the only other person that can be cool with both of them, like the way you're cool with both of them. Or is that the truth?
I don't know if I'm cool with both of them. I don't know if they, you know, I don't know if they both mad. You know what I'm saying?
Because I heard a rumor you're supposed to bring them both out on Summer Jam.
I try to bring them both out of Summer Jam.
That would have been crazy.
I both heard fuck my mother. You know what I'm saying?
Wait,
niggas was like, yo, fuck you, fuck your mother's a lesbian. No,
oh this, my God.
We're not doing it. You know? Nah,
I think you mean it like.
I mean it in like the bad. Like they went bad.
So hold on, what was your plan, Fat Joe? Let me just think of it.
I was gonna bring out Ja Rule with 50 Cent.
So you saying
at the same time?
Yeah.
Yes.
But what record is this gonna perform?
whatever record.
The
they
remix.
Can do whatever.
Where's the remix. Of a remix.
My shit was your fifth. Relax. Ja, relax. Let's do it for hip hop. And not only I got cursed out, but I got super cursed out because I didn't realize that Irv Gotti is like, he really got a problem with that situation. So Irv don't bother nobody. He do his Hollywood thing, but he called me and called me all type of shit. And I was just like, he was like, hey, ain't gonna be no kumbaya. No, I call them both.
You call Irv.
Yo, Ja, check this out.
Okay.
I'm doing Summer Jam. I'm headlining. I want you to come out me and rap. And I'm bringing 50 Cent out. Yo, 50, check this out. I'm headlining. I really need you to come out with me. Do your blood, your gangsta, everything. And guess what? I got Ja Rule with us. And we going to come out together.
Okay.
And I heard fuck my mother, everything, no, lesbian, this, 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 that.
Both sides? Both sides?
Yeah, everybody.
Stop. But yo, if this would have happened, if this would
have... That would have been...
born again Christian. Now I'm telling you.
You say you're born again Christian?
I'm just a beautiful person.
But yo...
I want everybody to get along.
That would have been ill, though. That would have been ill. That would have been ill.
I suppose this would have happened, right? I suppose you would have called 50.
Nobody would have fought.
He would have said yes.
Nobody would have fought.
I suppose you called Ja. But what records would you have brought them out together?
It don't matter. They just would have bought
it. No, it would have mattered.
Wish death upon me. Blood on my eye. And then Ja would have came out and did his little New Yorker clap back. Whatever. We was just going to go up there.
Ja couldn't have did clap back. You can't. Did you just say clap back? Joe, that was terrible. You can't say clap back. This is directly going at 50 Cent. We cannot do that.
Many men is going at too.
Many men might be the same exact shit.
Same shit.
Right.
They've been dissing each other forever.
Yeah, they got to do new shit. So, they got to do candy shopping.
What you got to understand is.
Put it on me.
I argue. I had beef with 50 Cent for 7-8 years. This shit is whack. Dissing each other. And then everybody want to diss each other more and then this. And then you know it's going down when you see each other. Mm. You know what I'm saying? All that is like played out to me. And I love and worship Ja Rule and Irv. You know what I mean? And I know they got to feel a certain way because I'm cool. Like they both told me, we cringe when we see you in pictures with 50 Cent. You're my friend. Mm. You're my friend. And I am their friend. Like, I got a show the 7th in Vegas, and I'm flying back to New York to go to Irv's mom's 80th birthday. Like, these are really my friends. I fuck with Ashanti, talk to her every other day. Like, they my brothers. But I'm just not with the smoke. I'm not with it. It don't benefit nothing.
Right.
Me beefing with 50 Cent and him beefing with me don't benefit nothing. Peace feels so much better, man.
Could we bring you and Cuban Link together?
No, you couldn't. But I'm glad I told you last time.
I heard he's
in church.
Right.
So if he's really in church, I salute him because I fear God. You know what I'm saying? And and that's about it. With like 50 Cent and all of them, I told you. I don't want to go in. I mean, Cuban Link, it was bad, man. Yo, when you take people and first of all, we was all born alone. Let's just go to this concept.
Right.
All y'all niggas in here was born butt naked alone. Y'all ain't even know each other. Mm. Right? So now we all grew up dirt poor, welfare, projects, wiping my ass with toilet paper, no AC, sleeping on the floor because it's colder. You can't tell me about being poor, nigga. I done ate the kitchen sink, rice with this, with that. Like, I've been broke. Like, I don't have pictures of when I was a little kid because we didn't afford a camera. That's how broke Fat Joe was.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying? So now I get an opportunity with God bless me and put me in a position to help somebody else and make somebody else a millionaire, or make them a star. Buy these niggas homes before I owned a home. I still lived in an apartment when I bought the nigga home. And for them niggas to do all that and try to destroy me. See, so if you look at my Instagram on my birthday, all the comments were saying, yo, these niggas threw everything at this nigga. Everything at this nigga. His best friend's wife was going bad, saying, you know, he robbed it. He did. Like, they try to destroy me in every way. 50 Cent was the big bad wolf. Nigga was 30 platinum.
Yeah.
Smashing everybody. I'm the only nigga kept coming back at that nigga going, I know the beef. You understand? So when I see the opportunity and how generous and the money and everything I did for these people, for them to try to just cut my legs, You know what I'm saying? It's one thing to go in a football game, watch a football game, and see a nigga get hit hard in a football game. But you ever see nigga dive at the nigga's knees? You know he's trying to break his knee.
Right, right, right.
He's trying to cut his whole.
They also hurt him, yeah.
They trying to cut his whole life. Y'all don't understand. I had albums coming out, hits. Make it rain on them hoes. And the day my album come out, when you normally go to High 97, they was on BLS talking about, yo, we homeless. This nigga shitting on us. Yo, don't buy his shit. Fuck this nigga. This. They really was doing this to me. I don't understand. If there's a such thing as trolls, they was trolling. And me, now let's say Fat Joe, as a man, Joseph Cartagena, hip-hop fan. If I was a fan of Big Pun and Fat Joe being the Latino superpowers and them being brothers, and the wife of Big Pun said that Fat Joe's a piece of shit and he's robbing us and this, I would never like Fat Joe in my fucking life. Me being Joseph Cartagena, the hip-hop fan, I'd have been, fuck that nigga. Fuck him. So you understand what I had to go through? How I had to walk?
Yeah.
How I needed people like you and other people to say, no, he's a great guy. This guy's phenomenal. Gifts to the community, open businesses, computers to the school, send plays to Puerto Rico. The man gives everything. You understand? Then people try to destroy me on another level. Like, I don't think y'all understand that. Because I understand. Because I'm like, yo, if I was an outsider sitting in, I'd be like, yo, this nigga's a scumbag. So I had to convince the people, yo, that ain't what it is, nigga. Like, it's incredible, man. It was a big fight. It was a big fight. You know, I had to overcome, you know what I'm saying? And it still bothers me.
Nah, that's beautiful, man. Fuck that, man. Mm. And you still here, man. You still here.
More than still here.
Nah, we still more. We got the movie coming out.
The Kevin Hart joint,
nice
right?
School, oh, nice school. September 26th.
Let's make some noise for that, goddamn.
We got She's Gotta Have It. We just wrapped up She's Gotta Have It season 2 with Spike Lee.
Let me just tell you, right? So, you know, I was actually...
My beard is right.
I was actually... my flight was supposed to be for tomorrow for Angie's Barbecue. I was going to go to Angie's Barbecue and then go to your party. What happened was... We fell back on the Revolt episode, so we got to recording you and recording Ja Rule tomorrow.
Oh wow!
So I'm just flying up for your party. But let me just tell you, you know, Joe is my brother. I love this guy. So he's like, you gotta come to my party. I'm like, all right, cool. Made sure my wife blocked out the dates, did whatever. He says, so where you want to sit next to Spike Lee or Mary J. Blige? I said, Jesus.
Because, yeah, listen. I had to. Because the nigga Nori acted like he was doing me the biggest favor. He was like, yo. you know, it's a dream champ, nigga. Savvy. La Oyster.
He's so
I could check this nigga. The nigga was going, should I get on the plane? Because I don't do this for just anybody. You want me to win? I said, wait a minute, Nori. Thank you. I worship you. Do you want to sit next to Spike Lee or Mary J. Blige? You want Tiffany Haddish? Or you want that? Like, come on, my nigga. Like, you got to be there.
Nah, he lost to me.
I had to.
And we give you more. I'm proud of you, my brother. Let me tell you something.
Nori said on my birthday, he said, man, I be thinking you're my real brother for my mother.
Yeah.
That's how we are. And you know, we've been friends for what, 20 years?
Yeah, you know, sometimes, you know how people get trade.
We still
people?
Look young. We like, look amazing.
You know
but
how you
we've been
trade
friends
people in baseball? Like, sometimes I feel like you should trade like some family members. Like, there's a couple of like cousins. No,
some cousins is fuck niggas.
Yeah, some niggas
is fuck niggas in
like,
our family.
Like, what is it? The race trade? Some niggas got to trade.
The black congregation
take the Latino congregation.
Yo, we got fuck niggas in our family. It's some niggas you can't believe. Sometimes I sit there and I look at these niggas.
No, all of us, we all have that. Everyone has.
Let me tell you something. I worship my son, right? Love him to kingdom come. He's my boy, man. But sometimes I be sitting there with this nigga and he be doing some questionable shit to where I'm looking. Nah, I'm just meaning like shit I ain't with. So I be sitting there looking at this nigga. I be like, yo, you believe this nigga?
Well, like tight jeans or something?
No, like not tight jeans. He could wear tight jeans. Like this morning, my wife had to go to the airport. We need a nigga to take her because my other car's in the shop. Yo, he has something to do. How you gonna have something to do, my nigga, when she gotta go to the... Are you fucking serious, my nigga? Like, I'm sitting... And I love my son. Right. Everything's for my family. I work hard for my family, but what kind of fucking... They lucky I wasn't up this morning, man. And then he took the next plane out to New York, too. I was like, oh, my God, I would kill this nigga. But it's some fucked up shit, some fuck nigga shit. It really is. Like, you like, what? Like, are you serious?
Like, you blessed to raise spoiled children, brother.
You spoil you, man. You and blessed. And then I don't know how, because we ain't have nothing. So we try to give our kids everything. So we don't understand how, and this ain't just my problem. It's the problem of anybody who feels like, yo, they ain't have nothing. They taking care of their kids. Mm-hmm. When they grow up, they almost think like they the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Right. I tell a nigga all the time, we are not Sean Puffy Combs, nigga. Right. This money run out. Right. His dog. Right. You got a Benz, you rollied up, you looking all right, you dip fresh.
For now.
You're Miri all the time, but chill. You know, because they got some new shit. I don't know if you know the Dr. Dre's son, Puff's son, a bunch of them niggas. Now they taking privates, the kids.
Oh, no.
It's a new society of the sons. They taking private planes. Look, these is 40,000, 30,000. So he's showing me, yo, Dr. Dre's son, my man. Yo, Puffy's son, they jumping out the... I'm like, yo, my nigga, hold on.
Yo, this is real shit, though.
This not going down. Like, just know I don't take private planes unless we gotta take one. I'm not doing that no more. I did that. I spent tons of millions of dollars on that shit. We not doing that shit. So I gotta, you know, this is shit, you know, these niggas will spoil you, man. God bless them, they beautiful, we love them, but they, like, it's a problem.
Let's make some noise for last year on my birthday. The hurricane hit, Fat Joe came to me in my birthday dinner and said, Nori, we're gonna die.
I remember that.
I'm like, I'm trying to have
this
the best.
This nigga was having a dinner with cakes.
Yeah, you brought us all out. Everybody's like, we're like, yo, no, it's a hurricane.
No, I'm gonna tell you the worst shit. No, I'm gonna tell you the worst shit.
We're gonna die.
He said, yo, I rented the biggest suite with my wife at the St. Regis right on the beach. I'm like, nigga.
I said, God,
you're dying, nigga. You're dying. He was like, no, Joe. I mean, the sun is a light. Yo, my God.
But you know what was fucked up? Was I really trying to stick it out? Like, I really went the next day.
Was the whole
day.
Shit with Jim Jones, right?
No, that came later. But I'm saying, I really tried to stick it out. I really stood there. I checked in the hotel. They said, Mr. Santiago, you're good.
We almost
they
fucked
evacuated
up the plane.
You guys.
No, the plane. Now, they evacuated this thing. He
later,
called me up. He said, yo, Joe, you still got that plane? Yeah. I'm like, yo, my nigga, I was just begging you. Are you on drugs? Yeah. Let's get the fuck out of here. I took... The canary, nigga. Like, we took the dog, the bird, my mom's, my pot, every... What, was that a Southside plane or what? That shit was lit, nigga. My father was touching the butt like he never seen no shit. He was like, shit going... Oh, so I see. Hey, get busted. Nigga, we sassa that fucking plane out. And his mother-in-law, she got her way on the plane too. She dropped him off and she was like,
let's go.
And his wife was like, think my mama could come. I was like, yeah, Mama. She jumped. Nah, that shit was a sassa plane.
Narcos, big up Narcos, my dog.
Narco was in it. We was pissy drunk on that plane too.
And had the coolest pilots too, by the way.
The what?
The coolest pilots.
Oh no, I was just glad to get out of here, B, because I've been to a couple of hurricanes here. Like Hurricane Katrina, I was here. All that.
I was here.
The shit sound like a nigga is just, you know how they do the motorcycle? Like it ain't going nowhere, but it's just doing the smoke. That's how your windows, if you never did one, you did one?
Yeah.
Yo, your windows sound like a nigga doing that on a motorcycle.
I don't think I did a serious one.
For 20
I
didn't do
it. And Oya Mikanto was shot when a hurricane was approaching. Oh. The way that the video looks, Gil Green, he hooked that up digital.
You know what I always say about like living in Miami? It's like you become an automatic weatherman.
Yeah.
Like, yo, like today, like me and Sonny's on my balcony, and we looking like, yo, like, cool, look, it's about to rain. I literally said, 2 minutes, we gotta wrap everything up. And in 2 minutes, the rain came, we stood there, then I could look at the shit and tell you when the rain is coming. Yeah. Like, everybody that lives in Miami is a fucking weather fucking specialist.
Hey, yo, let me tell you something.
Am I lying?
No, it's true.
You that live in Miami?
I'll tell you one thing. The weather girls in Miami, the bitches on TV, oh, today humidity this. I'll be like, shit, that bitch from Club Lit. Them bitches bad as fuck. The weather bitches. Yo, Sonny, the weather bitches is A-OK. Yo, I'm like, holy shit, you know. What's going on in, yo, what's going on in Boca Raton, mommy? Where you can point that man, give me a little ass. Bitches is bad, nigga. I'm like, yo, where is these weather bitches, man? Jesus. Nah, yo. I'm gonna tell you what. Yo, listen, let me tell you something. When I will never build a house again in Miami.
Well, you build one from scratch?
Oh, I built one from scratch.
The plantation joint?
Plantation from scratch. Yo, my nigga, let me tell you something. In New York, I done bought cribs, put construction paper on the window, and niggas is working 24 hours a day. I built my house in Miami, niggas be like, I go over there and nobody's working. They be like, yo, what's up? Papa, it's raining. Yo, my nigga, it's a fucking drizzle. Yo, my nigga.
They stop building.
A drizzle. Papa, la lluvia está mala. Yo, what, nigga? Now you better get the fuck out here and work. I almost killed these niggas so many times. Like, Miami different, man.
How long it took them to build?
Remember, what? Maybe 2 years or something. These niggas was taking their time. They was, everything was an excuse. Yo, it's raining. It's too hot for the roof to this and that. I'm like, yo, these niggas got excuses. I can't do it. I like to pay. Like, I like to just pay you and get it done. Leave me alone. Let's do it. I don't like the bullshit, the back and forth. Yo, you know how many times I went up there? I was about to smash the niggas building
when
my house.
When you moved to the house in Plantation, what year?
Man, years ago, man. First, I had the land. And then we built the crib over there from scratch. It was the most beautiful crib in the world, but
I loved it with the big TS in front of the
with
door.
With the big TS in the front. Wow. And then, you know, yeah, we had the stupid crib, and then it's just the animals in the night.
It sounds like you swear he lived by Metro Zoo and shit.
Yo, I swear, yo, my wife used to call me, she used to be like, yo, what the fuck? I'm like, yo, what's wrong? Sound like two apes is fucking. Yo, my nigga, I'm gonna tell you one thing I had in Plantation. Nah, yo, the sounds. Yo, listen to me. Yo, I used to say, yo, a hurricane, there's gonna be tigers and zebras running out here. Cause over there, niggas got farms and you hear shit. Different animals, my nigga.
No, but let me just tell you something. Sorry to cut you off. One thing about Miami is if you're ever just looking around, there's always like a bird that flies around and you just be like, this motherfucker's worth $70 million. And he just flying around. Like, you ever seen, like Pat Ventura?
I used to try to shoot him down and sell him.
You know, I was in Miami. Like, I grew up my whole time watching that shit. And then, I kid you not, niggas these birds that come by my balcony, and I'll be like, yo, I bet you if a nigga catch this nigga's $17,000.
Yeah, beautiful parrots, all kinds of crazy shit. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm just saying, like, expensive shit.
You see peacocks running around and shit.
You know, what happens is, these niggas have them as pets.
The animals.
No, in the cocaine cowboy days, these dudes had these tigers and monkeys and all kinds of crazy shit.
They used to be some raccoons in my crib.
It's a little different.
Yo, my nigga, I was so strapped, my nigga. I was so strapped. I used to watch these niggas.
The raccoons.
I used to watch these niggas through the window, looking at these niggas. I'm like, yo, I'ma kill these niggas, man. Word the mother, I'ma kill these niggas. Niggas come through, fuck your garbage up. These niggas is big. And they ain't scared. You kick the window, the door, them niggas is looking at you like,
nah, they'll come at you. They'll come at you.
I'm telling you, my nigga, I had beef with the raccoons, everybody. I had to get out of there. I thought I wanted quiet life. I went out there, my nigga, I was like, yo, these niggas trying to die over here or something.
But
like,
you moved out of Florida now?
No, I moved into
deeper into Miami.
Miami, man.
Oh, you're one of the buildings.
You know, the sirens. No, I got a crib on the water.
Oh, okay.
I'm in an island.
Right.
Oh, in the island.
No, we in the island.
In Jersey, I just have beef with the geese. You know the geese? The geese?
I don't like none of these people.
Yeah,
I don't like none of them. Because they'll come at you like...
Yeah, they come at you.
They do that in Jersey.
Mm-hmm. In Jersey.
You have beef with the geese.
Mm-hmm.
And then you kill one of the niggas and you
that's
in trouble.
That's a federal crime.
Yeah, you might as well. That's like a hate crime. No, for real.
No, it is.
You hit one of them niggas, you done.
So what has been like the biggest difference from working with Roc Nation? From like any other management company you've ever had.
Shout out to Desiree. It's her birthday today.
Oh, God bless you, Desiree.
I bought her the biggest flowers. It's bigger than this table. It was the most. She was like, yo, you something else, man. It was abundance of flowers. It was the biggest shit you ever see. Thousands of dollars on these flowers. Big shit. Because she saved my life and she structured me right.
Mm.
You know, a lot of times the way we thought, you did this, a lot of times the way we work, we thought we was doing it right, but they call that shit homeboy management and all that. So you need people. So what you got, the difference is for all you artists, I know you artists be watching these young boys. Listen, the difference of just having your homeboy managing you that's supposedly smart, and somebody who's already in power is there's people trying to get to you that don't know your homeboy. Mm. It's Colgate. It's Corona beer.
It's McDonald's.
And they trying to throw you this check, but they don't know your man. Right. Or they don't want to deal with your man.
Yeah.
So the best thing was that opened so many doors for me where I was able to do business with so many different people I normally couldn't have. Because I was 20 years in the game and wasn't doing these deals.
Right.
And now I'm over here doing these deals. You know what I'm saying? So they opened a lot of doors for me. And it's really about the artists up there, to me. Of course, you got to work your end of the bargain.
Mm-hmm.
And they got to work. You got to be popping for anybody to make a dollar off of anything.
Right.
Mm.
If you ain't popping, like Chris Lighty, rest in peace, he was the king.
King.
But you once you was popping.
You had to be lit.
Once you lit, then he go rape everybody and get the bread for you.
Yeah.
So you got to understand, if you not lit, if you not moving, right. If you're not in demand, then you can't really complain that niggas because they can't do nothing for you.
Right.
But once you lit, them niggas can go get that bag. We call that low-hanging fruit, that shit right there.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm. That was hard.
It's always facts.
That was hard.
No, we can put niggas on your twin. We can put niggas on your twin. Is like, fuck y'all.
Twin, come over.
Y'all twin, come here,
twin,
man.
Come over here.
Y'all twin, get the
twin, come over here.
Nah, that nigga mad. Somebody bother him. Somebody bothered my nigga. That nigga over here, he looking at me. You ain't see his face. That nigga looking disgusting.
Right? Didn't we give you a pair of drink chains?
Never did.
Nah, I'm missing the chain.
What's your size, Joe? What's your size? Your shoe size.
Size 12, bro.
Oh, we got it.
I'm gonna sneak a collector.
Let's bring it on the table. Can you
give it one? Can you give it a size 12 for me, Diego?
Yeah, we got
another one. I'm not gonna lie, Diego. You
oh, no,
like,
wait. We don't have size.
We don't?
I don't think so.
Mr. Lee.
Huh? Yeah, I'm gonna tell you something. I don't know if this happens every time.
Right.
But twins always on my episode.
That's right. Twins always on my episode.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So what happened? People telling you why?
Nah, yeah, like, cause you know, like, people see
Joe,
that,
turn your mic for
that,
you, please.
People see, you know, my friend is Noriega, and I'm in the lifestyle, I'm with the stars, cool. But niggas be like, oh, put me on. Nigga, you mean put you on? Like, you have to put in the work yourself.
Mm.
Like, labels have to look for you. You don't go look for a label, my man. You know what I mean? Like, people think like, oh, put me on. What you mean put you on? Oh, you want me to tell Norita to roll blunt? You want to be his blunt roller? Well, you want to show him your mixtapes that has 300 views? Like, no. Like, people don't want to put in the work. They want to stay put.
I'm going to tell you the worst niggas. Niggas that are actually killers that decide to rap.
Like, killers. Because they suck at rapping.
No, they actually killers, and they the worst niggas you ever heard in your life.
Yeah, they the worst rappers.
But they convinced that they the best.
They
and they got four
they
niggas.
Really been through it.
No, they got four niggas playing Xbox with them, telling them they the greatest.
About creativity.
Like, their lyrics is real because
they
done it.
You know how many killers I had to be like, yo, my man, what's up? Nah, they keep on your JoJo. Yo, I can't help you. Yo, so what's up? What you mean you keep your stuff my dick? What's up then already? Like, we got to, you know, put my life in danger. And I know these niggas is killers, but they're the worst rappers I have ever heard in my life. It's nothing we can do for you.
Nah, but and they've been through their life for real, Mr. Lee. Congratulations, man. Happy birthday, brother.
Thank you, I know you
like 900. In real life, you like 900. Because you've been 40 since I was 20.
Do
you feel like rap?
They got him under pressure in Kendall.
Nah. The Hialeah, right?
He going to Kendall, too.
I feel like rappers that have more talent get outworked by the ones that have a little bit less talent, and they make it.
I don't think that's necessarily true.
I think so.
In some cases.
That's a good point.
I see that.
I think in a way, I feel like, because there's niggas that I know in my hood that them niggas can rap. But it's like, you putting out a song a month, nobody's waiting for
you. Even less than a song a month.
Nobody's waiting for your music. Oh, bro, keep drop back to back.
All right, the point is that the record industry is the same corny niggas, same corny system. So what they do, they're not signing niggas. They're not A&Ring niggas. They're not breaking niggas. What they doing is they looking at the charts and they look and they say, oh shit, there's a little nigga named Twin that Power 96 is playing them 150 times. 99 Jams is playing them 100 times a week.
Or the streams,
or the streams. And they coming over here. Then they go and they sign you because you already lit. The proof is in the pudding that you're going to spread around the country. Right. But the problem I got with that, right, is after you come from nothing and you make it yourself, telling your life story or putting your heart into music, a nigga come and stand next to you when you get your plaque or your award like they did something. Like they some executive, some ill nigga we got to respect. Some nigga we got to look up to. Like they really did something for the culture. No, nigga, you looked at the chart. You seen who was hot in fucking Biloxi or Mississippi or Idaho, nigga, and you went over there and you signed a nigga. The nigga was going to blow anyway, independently. Mm. He was streaming off the hook. So you go over there and now you looking like you a superhero, like you did something. You ain't really A&R break any artists. That's what you did. So all artists out there, just know you got to be lit first wherever you from. You from North Carolina? Get lit there. If you from fucking Georgia, get lit there, and it's gonna spread out. Simple as that.
I saw something that.
It's so fucked up. It's so about the part cut you off. It's so fucked up. You don't even have to be lit in your own town. You SoundCloud rappers.
No, most of these guys ain't lit in their town.
They ain't lit in their own
town.
They
not popping in their town.
That's what happens. But look, because I know you gotta go, and I wanna but you know, I always been proud of you. But recently, I've been able to be proud of you every single day. So I wake up every morning and my favorite sports show in the world.
First Take.
It's First Take.
Yeah.
And every day on First Take, they promoting you September 3rd that you're going to perform.
We going to rip that shit down.
Down yonder. I'm going to be in Paris.
You're going to be in Paris, but you can watch
it. I'm going to be on that plane.
It's going to be ugly out there. We're going to welcome them to New York. Mm-hmm. It's an honor to do First Take because that's everybody's favorite show.
Everybody's.
And it's gonna be crazy, man. I got some surprises coming out with me. You know what I'm saying? And we gonna go out there and rip it down and put on a good show for them. It's an honor for me. They could have picked anybody. That's everybody's favorite show. Snoop Dogg would have did it. You would have did it. Anybody would have did it. You know what I'm saying? So it's an honor they asked for a show.
Because there's a lot of people who claim they're the king of New York. There's a lot of people. And listen, there could be 15 kings in New York. There could be 15 kings in New York. But when ESPN First Take, a guy named Stephen A. Smith, who's from Hollis, Queens, Max Kellerman, Molly, and they handpick my friend Fat Joe, you can be modest, but I'm going to say that's clearly saying this is the one, if not the king, at least one of
the kings. He's one of them kings, yeah, he's one
of
them.
New York. Because. Because in this case, it's not chess, it is checkers. And on checkers, you can have more than one king.
I'm one of the kings in New York, question.
That's what New York.
No, that's a fact. I'm one of the kings in New York, you know that. And, it's an honor, man. It's an honor. There's no way to explain it to you. It's an honor. We work real hard for that, but, you know, I'm just glad they picked me and I'm going to make them happy. And we're going to make a movie out there. You know, that's the bottom line.
God damn it. Thank you, man. Man, Fat Joe for fucking joining Drink Champs. My flight, my hotel is booked. I'm going out there just for you for your birthday.
Now,
happy birthday.
Now, let me ask you a question. Yeah. Do you want to sit next to Spike, Mary J., or Stephen A. Smith, Molly, and Max Gilliman? Do you want to sit in their section?
Listen, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
I'll sit next to Chi-Chi get the yayo. As long as you
okay. Oh, we got to find Chi-Chi now.
As long as you're okay, you're having a good time, I'm there to celebrate your night.
Primo don't be hanging out with Chi-Chi get the yayo. Man, he's going to be in B. Man, he's going to be in B.
Check us out next week. I don't know this is some shit. Let's do it. Come on. We're going to take a picture in the drop.
You got to do a drop real quick.
You don't need me in the drop.
Discover a new educational and interactive podcast, Stories for Kids by Lingo Kids. Our episodes are packed with fun activities. Right, Elliot?
Oh, yes! We went shape hunting around the block, and we found spheres and cubes on the street.
That was great fun. Join Stories for Kids, the Lingo Kids podcast, inspiring you to learn while having fun. Listen to Stories for Kids on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Season 9 of Next Question with me, Katie Couric. I've got some big news to share with you in our season premiere featuring the one and only Kris Jenner.
Oh my gosh, congratulations. That is very, very exciting.
And that's just the beginning. We'll also be joined by podcast host Jay Shetty, Hillary Clinton, Renee Fleming, Liz Cheney, and many more. So come on in, take a break from the incessant negativity for a weekly dose of fascinating conversations. Some of them, I promise, will actually put you in a good mood. Listen to Next Question with me, Katie Couric, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In the 90s, New York detective Louis Scarcella locked up the worst criminals.
Putting bad guys away. There's no feeling like it.
Then jailhouse lawyers took aim, led by Derek Hamilton.
Scarcella took me to the precinct and lied.
20 men eventually walked free. Now, in the Burden podcast, after a decade of silence, Louis Scarcella finally tells his story, and so does Derek Hamilton. Listen to The Burden on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.